Would you just lift your hands with me one more time? We exalt you. We glorify you, Father. You are so worthy to receive praise. You're so worthy to receive honor. We give you glory. We ask you to just bless this simple time in your word for just a little bit. And Father, we give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Romans chapter 8, your Bible should just really fall there, fall open there. I just want to go over some things of basic instinct. You know what instinct is? It's something that's in you that is beyond thought. It's who you are once you're born again. Once you've really asked Jesus into your life and you're not just coming to church just to show up and just so people can say, well, I saw them in church. But once you really dedicate your life to the Lord and ask Him to come in and He washes you fresh and anew in the blood, there's a change that takes place. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, the Word of God says, and behold, all things become new. Well, the things that become new, it's not where you live. It's not how you look. It's all of everything that is on the inside that changes. And that change takes place, and it's a basic instinct. It's beyond thought. It's beyond the measure of thought. It's beyond the measure of your ability to be able to even figure things out sometimes. How much of the word is it that you don't understand? A whole lot still. How much of the revelation of who God is do you not still understand? A whole lot. But I can tell you this, that there's something on the inside of me that says that He is my Father. And there's something on the inside of me that says this is all truth. And if I continue to follow it, it's going to take me where I need to be. And in the end, that's doing what He wants me to do in this last day, just before He comes, sets up His kingdom. And we're part of that outpouring. Amen? The Word says that He gives a peace that passes understanding. His peace is instinct. It's something inside of it. It's beyond thought. In other words, it doesn't make sense to the natural mind to be able to rest in peace at times. But it's something that's placed inside of you at the new birth where you can say, this doesn't make sense with everything that's going on around me or everything that's happening to me. That's basic instinct. That's the part of you that is beyond the mind. It's beyond the rational. It's part of who you are. It's everything you are in your spirit. Now, Romans 8, verse 9 says this, But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, and that is that new nature, that is that born-again spirit that you received the moment that you accepted Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of what? Righteousness. That's what you've been made. You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. In other words, whatever you came out of, whatever you once were, you're not indebted to that. You don't have to go back to that. Amen? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's talking about that new nature. For ye have not, verse 15, received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of what? Adoption. And what does that spirit say? Whereby it says, we cry, Abba, Father. There's something inside of you. The moment that you're born again, one of the first instincts is this, that something bears witness on the inside. Something is crying out. Now, that is not the Holy Spirit. That's your new nature. That's who you are on the inside. But coupled with that, along beside that, comes the Holy Ghost. And the verse 16 says, the Spirit itself, or better translation, Himself, bears witness with our spirit, with what is crying out of our spirit, Abba, Father. The Holy Ghost stands up and says on the inside of us, that's correct. That's who you are. And that basic instinct there is, he says that he's testifying that we are children of God. Now, I like to call this one, I can't quit witness or instinct, an inability to quit. There's something on the inside of us, no matter what the barometric pressure is in the spirit, and no matter what the argument is around us or to us, that this witness on the inside of us, this basic instinct on the inside of us, is continually crying, Abba, Father. Now, you can't necessarily sometimes hear that. There may be days that you don't feel like you're saved. Anybody ever felt like that? There might be days where it crosses your mind, God, are you really out there? But you know He is. There may be times where seasons were come where the pressure is so strong that you feel like, I don't know how I can go on. And there may be times where even in your mind, you decide, I'm not going on. This is it. I quit. It's over. I'm finished. And then I wanted to say the next day, it's a lot quicker than the next day. It's 5 minutes, and it's not even 5 minutes. It's the next moment. There's something inside of you that says, there ain't no way, buddy. There ain't no way, sister. There ain't no way. And it's like, even when you want to, you can't. Hallelujah. Isn't it great to have a even when you want to, you can't on the inside of you? Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give Him glory for the even when you want to, you can't witness. Hallelujah. That's instinct. That's that. Now, they say animals have a basic instinct. We as humans that are born again, we have a basic instinct, and it's crying, Abba, Father. And it won't let us quit. It keeps saying, you're going to make it. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. In fact, if you do quit, it's impossible. You'd have to do it with your spirit kicking, screaming, and the Holy Spirit kicking and screaming the whole time. That's going to be hard to do. Hallelujah. There's an instinct inside of us. Also, Romans 2, there's a basic instinct inside of us that is an instinct of righteousness. It's righteous. And it doesn't even when you don't know. Well, let me read the verse. Let's just look at, I need to turn there myself, Romans 2. Verse 13 through 16, it says, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law are justified. For when the Gentiles, that's all of us, which have not the law, do by nature, that nature he's talking about there is the born-again nature, when we do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the law written in what? Their hearts, their conscience, and that conscience is that what we just talked about, that witness on the inside. Their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts, what thoughts? The thoughts out of that conscience. Meanwhile, accusing or else excusing one another. Now, this instinct is the instinct of righteousness, and it comes from the new nature. And it says here, what it's telling us here and it's teaching us here is that once we're born again, there's something on the inside of our heart, and it's called a conscience. Now, you had a conscience before you got born again. There's a lot of things that people in the world won't do. It's basically a synthetic conscience. If they were raised halfway decent, their mom and dad raised them in a place where they had at least a conscience, they knew it was wrong, to steal. They knew it was wrong to lie. Most of the time they didn't follow that. But there was a synthetic conscience. But once you get born again, there's a conscience on the inside that won't let you do those things and get away with them and rest in peace. The word says here, this conscience will continually either accuse or excuse the things that are in front of you, the things that you're deciding to do or not to do. Aren't you glad that there's a divine compass on the inside of you once you're born again that either says, as it acts as an umpire, a divine umpire that says, look, that's right and that's wrong. Even if you didn't have, now it pays to have a lot of this word on the inside of you, but even before you get all of this word deep on the inside, if you follow, if you stay close to God and don't let your spirit become contaminated by the world. The world's trying to contaminate us. Do you realize that? And it's trying to do it very seductively. Line on line. I told Candy a few nights ago, I said, Candy, I don't think in a few years, I don't know if it's only going to be a few years. I said, I don't think in 2 or 3 years we're even going to have a television because of everything that's coming on. Because I can't find any station. I used to have 2 or 3 that I could watch and not have to try to turn every 2 seconds. I don't want my grandkids seeing this stuff. I don't want me seeing this. I don't want to have to deal with it. I can deal with it and say no, 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 but I don't want to every 5 seconds have to deal with it. And I'm like, God, I got to take some packages off here because the only packages I've got is so I can watch some certain football games at certain times. Can I just get those? So far, I can just get those, I guess. And I'm not saying that that's right around. I don't want your convictions to become my convictions. And I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying if it continues like it is, that's very possible. It's very possible. The breastplate of righteousness is that thing on the inside of you that keeps saying, this is right, this is wrong. And even when you're righteous, the Bible says that the righteous man Lot, just because he lived in Sodom, that it vexed his soul. It vexed his heart. And I'm not saying we become unrighteous, and I'm not saying that enters into us, but if we don't watch it, all that stuff on us will become like a dross. It'll become like a heaviness on us. Thank God for the blood of Jesus. Sometimes you just go to the blood and say, Lord, I don't think I've really done anything, but just because of everything I've seen and everything I've heard, Lord, just cleanse me and wash me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? But we do have a consciousness on the inside of us acting as an umpire. Listen to that. Stay close to it. Stay very, very close to it. And there are a lot of things that the enemy could. At times, the enemy can come, and he can try. It does say here, your conscience will, your new nature can excuse things. In other words, you debate on it. Is this right? Is this wrong? And the conscience says, yeah, it's okay. It's okay. There's nothing really wrong with that. So how many of you know we need to just stay close to the Lord? And one way to do that is just keep praying in tongues. Pray in tongues. He's the one that keeps purging us. I mean, you'd like to know another basic instinct. Hebrews chapter 5. Glory be to God. We're going to have a good time next week or what? Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. Says this, for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. So important to stay in that word of righteousness. For he's a babe. If you don't never progress in the word of righteousness, you'll remain a babe. even if you're here for 25 years in the church. Maturity comes through meditation of His Word and praying in tongues. But strong meat, verse 14 says, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Strong meat, what meat? The meat of the Word of God, doctrinal, teaching, understanding. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use, everybody say use. How do I use? Well, one, communion with the Holy Ghost. Do you know every moment that you pray in tongues is communion with the Holy Ghost? Every moment that you take this word out and continue to meditate it, the word says by strong use, have their senses exercised. Now, I looked up and did a study on this. This is not you'd think it's exercising your spiritual senses, but it's actually talking about exercising, like when they say, well, we exercised that devil out of somebody. You know, we delivered them from it. This is actually talking about you repelling or pushing away your physical senses, not letting your physical senses, your mind, and all of everything around you to become the deciding factor. It's actually talking about repelling, pushing away, and having those senses exercised. As a result of it, it says, having their senses exercised, have the ability to discern, and I'm putting have the ability, it says to discern both good and evil. Those who pray in tongues, those who allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth an exercising of their senses, another one of those good things to be doing is, have you ever heard of fasting? Well, Pastor, don't talk about that because next week we're in fact, I'm not going to talk about fasting during the holidays. Now, after the first of the year, we'll hit it real hard. But as a result of it, there's a basic instinct that takes place. It says that we're able to discern both good and evil. Well, you'd think anybody that is born again would be able to discern good and evil. We're not talking about just discerning the blatancy of God versus the devil. We're talking about when the devil shows up and he doesn't show up as the devil. When he shows up in your life in something so subtle as even we've been talking about things as false responsibilities. Do you know the devil wants to take you out of prayer any way he possibly can? Do you know he wants to put cares on you any way he possibly can so that we're not continually going after the gold? Well, what is the gold? The gold is revival. It's an outpouring. It's God in our homes. It's God in our life. And the Word of God says here that if we give ourselves over, that even what appears to be, see, the enemy's not going to get you by coming in and saying, I'm the devil. I'm putting you have blatant trials. You know when fear comes at you. You know when hard times. You know that's the devil. You know when anything comes to contradict the Word, that's the enemy. But a lot of times, and I'd say most of the time, the subtlety of your attack is for the enemy to show up in your life and make it feel like it's you, that it's not him. Make it feel like it's just natural circumstances, it's not him. When very subtly he's doing things to manipulate your life, steal your time, and take away. You know, I love the example, you know, that the young lady that falls in love and says, this is the one for me, and daddy, I want to marry him, and I just believe that he's the one for me. I believe it's a, how many of you know emotions can really disguise themselves as God sometimes? Well, this is God. Well, how do you know? Because I just know that I know that I know. Well, honey, you're not going to, there's something behind all this that you're not going to like. What is it? Well, one, he doesn't have a job. Girls don't even start to date. Don't even talk to anybody that doesn't have a job. Hallelujah. Why? Well, what if, okay, I give permission if they're in between. Well, they've been in between for a year and a half. They're a bum. Don't talk to bums. Witness to him. Try to get him saved. No, I'm just... And you think a lot of times the stuff that we enter into, decisions that we make, and you feel like it was God at the beginning. Oh, I just know it was God. And then things happen. And then 2 years later, they're coming to the church saying, or 5 years later, we've got two babies and one's in the oven. And Pastor, we need, the devil's attacking our life. He's really pounding on us because we don't have rent money. We don't have milk money. And the devil's really, and he's still not working. You know what? That's not the devil. That was your poor decision because you couldn't discern between good and evil. But we're going to have compassion on you. Hallelujah. If there's any way we can feed you and your kids and let him get hungry, we will. See, that's mean. No, that's the word of God. If a man don't work, he don't eat. Amen. That's just the word. Oh, you're being mean now, Pastor. No. I can show you in black and white. Now, if a man's sick or ill or whatever, that's different. Okay? Hallelujah. I'm glad I go to this church. Because they're mean and plus they love you at the same time. Praise God. First John chapter 2. Where'd he get? How many enjoyed that teaching from Homer Wednesday night? My God, just the word pouring out of him. I'll probably have to have him again this Wednesday night. I know one thing. In the next few months when he's seeing the pages, and I'm not just saying that to say, okay, that makes us all feel better. This is a reality. And I know he appreciates all your hugs and all of your you can do it, but he knows where he's going, and he'd rather you just keep him in prayer than anything else, because he's fighting a good fight. But what I was going to say, when he can see with the natural eye, I hope he don't stop quoting like he's been quoting. This man, he's been quoting and quoting and quoting and quoting and quoting. Hallelujah. 1 John 2:20 says this, but we have an unction. Ye have an unction. I have one. Do you have one? That's that witness in Romans 8. Where does it come from? It comes from the Holy One. And you know what? All things. Well, the first thing I do know, the beginning, the basic instinct is this. The first thing I know is that I'm his son. That's the first thing. And then dropping on down where he was headed with this in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. That's that witness. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, that's not saying it's wrong for me or Homer or anybody else that's a teacher to stand up here and teach. But it says, it goes on, but the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Listen, stay close to Jesus. Keep praying in tongues. There's people that I love so sincerely, and I'm not even, there's nobody in this, it's not anybody in this room. I love everybody in this room. And I am, we talk sometimes and they talk about God and I know they love God. I know they're going to heaven. And I'm not saying this to verify my slant on everything. I will stand here and tell you this. Man, the more I pray in tongues, the more I know that I don't know anything. So if you think, well, you think you've got, doctrine is very important to me, but doctrine is being taught to me. And I am the first, and praying that I'm the first to say, man, if I was wrong, I was wrong. God, you know, I'm just wrong. Forgive me. I thought I was right. But I hear certain ones talk about their closeness, and I believe that they are close. But at the same time, I believe this, that there is a, however you want to say it, whatever fits good for you, whatever is your vernacular, there is a it's like a glove that fits perfectly, that teaches you truth. And worship can take you into intimacy, but praying in tongues takes you into revelation, like a glove fitting a five-fingered hand. And as you pray in tongues, I haven't arrived, they haven't arrived, but the closest we'll ever get, the closest we'll ever get, what helps us get there is the amount of hours that we spend praying, communing with the teacher, and reading the Word of God. Because after all said and done, after you've listened to me, after you've listened to whoever your favorite teacher is, there's only one that can teach you. There's only one that can bring the gavel down and say, this is the truth. And you're going to stand on that for all eternity. When you go in, all of you that have heard me or heard anybody else that you appreciate, receive from them and then take it and say, okay, God, is it true? Take the things I say and say, is it true? Don't let me be the final say-so. Let the teacher be the final say-so. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Chapter 4 tells us another very wonderful instinct of ours that we know in Him. 16 says, and we know and believe the love that God hath to us. God is what? He's what? And of everything that the Word says that He is, of all the different essences of God, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscience, meaning knows everything, omnipresent everywhere, omnipotent, all-powerful. He's justice. He's immutability, meaning He cannot change. Thank God He can't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But He's all righteous. He's life. He's His life. But in this, it says it could have named all of those and everything that we know God to be. You know, I love hearing the songs, you know, about His power. But the one that John listed Him above, like it just capsulized everything. It just kind of capsulized the whole, everything that Father, Son, and the Spirit is. Tapa Christi. He's love. That's you. Turn to somebody and say, that's you. If you're His, then that's you too. Not YouTube. That's you too. Stand with me. Lift your hands just a little bit to your Father and know that He loves you. Know that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. We give You all the glory. We give You all the praise. We give You all the honor. Hallelujah. Father, bless Your people. Bless their week. Bless our coming. Bless our going. Take us in to the Lamb by the Spirit. And then, Lord, bring us back next week. We pray that we'll have the best fellowship we've ever had. We give You all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.